I'm Susan Arnold. I'm Vice President for Conservation for the Appalachian Mountain Club, and I'm here today on behalf of myself, the AMC, the Forest Society, Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests, and the Audubon Society of New Hampshire. And we're here to say, make a few different points, although also many of the same, and I will try to be brief. We understand the rationale for the bill, and we support the development of a comprehensive state energy plan, but we don't actually think a moratorium and the plan should be linked. Instead, we would support using a one-year timeout to accomplish very specific goals to improve the Site Evaluation Committee's process. Our organizations are very committed to reducing our dependence on fossil fuels through increased energy efficiency, conservation, and renewable energy technologies. And we support the development of appropriately sited wind energy facilities as one component of this clean energy future. But we support a moratorium on wind energy development for one reason, that we believe the state's Site Evaluation Committee should use the rulemaking process to adopt a set of siting criteria for commercial wind projects before acting on any new applications. The good news is that the real foundation for this exists, and a previous speaker mentioned. Back in 2006 and 2007, there was an energy commission and an ad hoc group of wind energy representatives, municipalities, state and federal resource agencies, and non-governmental environmental organizations spent 18 months doing a stakeholder process to develop a conceptual framework for wind siting guidelines. This, the work of this ad hoc group was presented to this commission, which then accepted them and included those guidelines in their report to Governor Lynch in the legislature in December 2008. And we've provided the committee with those with that document here. So this is all to say that there is a real starting point for the adoption of wind siting guidelines by the SEC, and we think, though, they need to be reviewed and updated. Technology in this arena, as we've heard already, has been moving very quickly. We think that these siting guidelines created back in 2007 create a fine foundation for the committee to begin thinking about what the SEC might do. I do feel I have to address the Antrim wind decision, because some people might say, well, why do you think there needs to be improvement? There was just a decision that primarily based perhaps on visual impacts was happening. But I think, in fact, that decision really epitomizes why we need to have some standardized criteria to not only address, primarily for the adverse impacts and the difficulties we face with doing that on aesthetics. Because there is little precedent for siting wind energy in rural and relatively natural landscapes, which is of course what we have here, the SEC is setting precedent with every decision. They're essentially making it up as they go along on a case-by-case basis, because they don't have any given set of criteria to sort of define the boundaries of what we're talking about. We believe that those criteria would not only be helpful to the SEC, but they would be helpful to developers, perhaps, in fact, speeding along these kinds of projects, because they wouldn't be investing the kind of time and money that we saw invested in Antrim, years and years and millions of dollars, only to come up empty at the end. So this isn't a one-time problem, and a single decision by the SEC hasn't solved it. We really need to address it on a more consistent basis, and we would argue that adopting some guidelines would help do that. We also would support a one-year moratorium on new elective transmission line projects for a very simple reason of what we've heard a lot about today, which is we believe the state's landscapes deserve to be recognized as assets worth protecting in any SEC decision-making process on the siting of new high-voltage transmission facilities. When a private developer proposes to build a new long-distance high-voltage transmission line that is not principally needed for the purposes of meeting New Hampshire's power needs, we believe that project should be required to propose underground burial as the preferred alternative over an above-ground facility in any application to the SEC. The technology exists, and this lower-impact alternative is in use elsewhere. The one-year moratorium would enable the state to complete the needed research on the feasibility of using existing state transportation or other existing corridors as sites for such burial alternatives as a means to minimize the impact on the state. In other words, take a time out and let's have time to catch up on what the actual technology would allow us to do. And that is essentially what the SB 361 Commission, which was mentioned previously, suggested. They indicated there was a need for a task force to do additional research on the viability of burial, and they posed a number of questions that task force should look into. We have again included the SB 361 report with our testimony, but we would urge you again to link a moratorium on new electric transmission facilities with the completion of the tasks that the SB 361 Commission put before in their report. We realize that a moratorium on these activities it's not something to be done lightly. It can be a blunt instrument, but in the case of wind development in New Hampshire and in the case of elective projects to transmit high voltage electricity, we believe there are compelling reasons why a one-year moratorium on each of those would serve the interests of the people in New Hampshire. So we would encourage you to adopt very time-limited moratorium and to hinge their adoption on these very specific tasks. Thank you very much. Happy to answer any questions.
Representative Backus has a question.
Yes.
When you were here testifying last week, you were speaking for five organizations. Now you're speaking for four. And the Conservation Law Foundation doesn't seem to be sponsoring this testimony. Do they have a difference of opinion with you on your recommendations here that you know of?
Yes, I am aware they do. There's actually two organizations, the CLF as well as the Nature Conservancy, did not join us on this testimony. I believe they have submitted their own.
Just for the record, we do have testimony by Conservation Law Foundation. We should all have that letter. Any other questions? Thank you very much. I'm sorry, Ms. Arnold. Representative Grossman.
Yeah, you mentioned making the moratorium very time limited, but what's before us is a calendar year. Would you be in favor of making it task limited? That is, you talked about adopting rules, so could we say, in your opinion, once they adopted some credible rules, their work would be done and could be declared done?
I think we would urge both. I think the point was that we thought it should be a very time-limited moratoria, but not be sort of open-ended as to what the end product would be, because we're suggesting that tying it to an energy plan is not necessarily the best thing to tie it to. So we would suggest it be both time-limited as well as very task-specific, and that's the two areas I addressed in my testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.